Conviction is a legal term common in courts of law. It means to prove a person guilty of an offense according to the evidence. The title convict refers to one who has been proven guilty of committing an illegal act. A conviction is a religious term also. In that application, it means to bring a person to a realization of his own guilt. The King James Version of the Bible commonly translates the Greek term as convince, reprove, rebuke, tell one his fault. The Bible makes so many references to God's work of conviction that it is possible to form a Bible doctrine of conviction of sin. The next 5 Bible studies will be devoted to a review of what God teaches about conviction of sin in the hearts of men. Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." Now, Jesus was the personal companion of his disciples for some 3 years. They lived together day after day. They heard his teaching, saw his miracles, shared in his ministry, watched him die, received proof of his resurrection, and witnessed his ascension back to heaven. They reported of their experiences with Jesus in words like these: "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ." What a privilege those disciples had to enjoy Jesus' daily companionship for those 3 years. But one day, Jesus surprised the disciples with the announcement, "Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I have said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come, so now I say to you." Well, the disciples were filled with sorrow at the prospect of Jesus leaving them. They did not understand what was really happening. He explained, "I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, and my Father is greater than I." Jesus continued, "Because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you, that is, it is to your advantage, that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you." What an amazing promise Jesus spoke. His absence from the bodily presence of the disciples did not mean they were left without God. Jesus said he would see to it personally that they received another companion to be with them. Now, examine the content of that promise expressed in John 14, verses 16 through 18, and chapter 16, verses 7 through 15. "The one who is sent to take the place of Jesus is called another comforter," in the King James Version of the Bible. The term translated comforter is translated from the Greek word parakletos. The word is formed by the preposition para, which means with or alongside, and a verb kaleo, which means to call. So the parakletos, the comforter, is literally one called alongside. Jesus promised another companion, a divine companion, will accompany each Christian. Now the term translated another means another of the same kind. So Jesus promised his absence from believers would permit another companion, the same as he, to be with them. And consider how personally present is the companion sent by Jesus. Over and again, Jesus said, I will send him unto you. He even said, He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. The indwelling in the spirit of the believer is proof of his personal presence. And hereby we know that he, that is God, abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Consider how permanent is the presence of the companion sent by Jesus. The Lord promised, And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, or companion, that he may abide with you forever. Now Jesus did not abide permanently with those early disciples. His ministry with them was limited to about 3 years. He left them to return to the Father in heaven. But not so with the new companion whom Jesus promised. He will abide forever. Consider the advantage which comes to the believer because of the presence of the new companion. Jesus said, Because I have said these things, that is, about his departure from them, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, or Companion, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Why was it to the advantage of the believers that the new Companion came to replace the incarnate Jesus? Well, first, the new Companion would be within them, whereas Jesus was only with them. Second, the new Companion would be with them forever, whereas Jesus was with them for but a short time. And third, the new companion could be everywhere at the same time, whereas Jesus was limited by time and space in his incarnate physical body. It is to the believer's advantage that the new companion has come. Now, who is the new companion? Jesus explained, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. The new companion, who is just like Jesus, is the Holy Spirit of God, who is with and within each Christian. Now, what does the presence of the Holy Spirit among men have to do with the conviction of sin? Well, the Holy Spirit is the agent of conviction. He calls men to an awareness of their sin, to a sense of personal guilt, and to Jesus Christ as Savior from their sins. When one responds in repentance and faith, the Holy Spirit effects the new birth in his human spirit and makes him a child of God. And then he takes up a permanent indwelling in the new convert and never leaves him. The Holy Spirit is carrying on a twofold ministry in the world today. That ministry is explained in John 16, verses 7 through 15. First, in regards to the unregenerate society, he is busy convicting men of the guilt of sin, the need and nature of true righteousness, and the certainty and danger of eternal judgment. Second, in regards to the saved, he is busy teaching them of Christ, leading them to spiritual maturity, and using them as citizens in the kingdom of God on earth. That blessed twofold ministry is God himself personally involved in the affairs of men. Father, thank you that you love us so much you never leave us alone. Thank you for the blessed Holy Spirit of God who comes to us in our sins, makes us aware of our condition, calls us to Christ, and effects the new birth in us, enabling us to grow in his spiritual likeness. Thank you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.